Welcome into Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here. And if you're listening to this episode on Thanksgiving, then maybe you want to look at this as what we're thankful for. If you're listening to this on Black Friday, because this is going to be our only episode between Thanksgiving and Black Friday before a game recap on Saturday, maybe you're looking at this more how we view the Knicks as if they're on sale. But this is the conclusion of our asset rankings for the Knicks. And Gavin, we're getting into the top five today.
Yeah, it's very exciting stuff, Alex. So we are talking through the best couple of Knicks. If you've been keeping track, there are still a number of players we haven't mentioned, such as Amir Sims and Wayne Selden and Jericho Sims. So probably some combination of those guys in our respective top fives. I don't know. There's only one way to find out. You can tune in right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts with a five. Ewing for the win. Yes. Thompson tucks left. Now fires a three. And he's good. And he's fouled. It's tough. And he makes it out. Anthony for three.
All right, welcome in to Locked On Knicks. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. And we wanted to just thank you guys, as always, for making us your first listen. We're available for free on all podcast platforms, as well as YouTube now. And I always say this, but even if you don't plan on watching our YouTube videos, we would so appreciate if you're a listener, if you could go on to YouTube, just subscribe to the channel, maybe like a couple videos, because it helps us out a lot. And as we're trying to grow that branch of the show, at any rate, I'm Alex Wolf. I'm editor in chief of Knicks site, The Strickland, which you can find at thestrick.land. And he is Gavin Shaw, your favorite play-by-play broadcaster's favorite play-by-play broadcaster, getting through the end of the high school football season right now. And Gavin, you doing a Turkey Day game? We're recording this obviously before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, all the Long Island high school football championships. I think they're always like traditionally the day or two after Thanksgiving, so everyone can enjoy their Thursdays and then watch some football Friday and Saturday.
There we go. Yeah, so definitely check that out if you're not already. Gavin, I'm going to lead off this episode with, so I'll do this all based off how our composite shook down. So our composite, our number five player based off yours and my rankings. We didn't really get into these so much in the last show because, you know, whatever, it was all kind of a hodgepodge. But I think it's interesting to look at the composite scores between the two of us for these top five. Mitchell Robinson comes in at number five. You had him at nine. You discussed kind of towards the tail end of last show why you had him there. I had Mitch still at number four. I think my rationale for this is, as we get towards the time this year and going forward when the Knicks might actually look to make a trade, which is, you know, December 15th, which obviously is coming up somewhat quickly. But then also, you know, the trade deadline, which is in February, I think Mitch's trade value is going to continue to go up. I think we've started to see recently flashes of like old Mitch to a degree where he's starting to get his conditioning back. You know, you mentioned in the last show, like he's made the comments of that his body hasn't quite caught up with his mind yet. You know, it's not like he's forgotten how to do certain things. It's just he can't, you know, get his body to do them quick enough at this point. And so that's why I had him still so high. I think he's still every bit the defensive stalwart that we're used to. I think that obviously whether he can refine that conditioning and that sort of burst that he used to have while still leveraging that newfound size that he has, that newfound like extra 40 pounds of muscle that he put on, will be the deciding factor pretty much of his career at this point. But, you know, I think that he's going to find it. I think that he's going to get his conditioning back. I think it's easy to forget, like, he wasn't just, you know, injured and on the shelf for a bit, you know, thanks to that foot injury. He literally like couldn't even start running really until pretty much the preseason and like towards the end of the preseason. He was able to do, it sounds like, light jogs and stuff like that, but wasn't able to run full speed until the Knicks were basically ready to start their season. And I think we've just sort of seen in real time, you know, to get to NBA level conditioning, you've got to be running, you know, all summer and, you know, be doing distance running, sprints, whatever. And Mitch just kind of wasn't able to do that throughout the whole offseason, it seems like. And that sort of led to that, you know, he was able to bulk up real good, but the conditioning clearly was at like zero when the season started, and he's had to work it all the way up to, you know, 100% at this point. I think he'll get there. I still don't think he's even quite close to 100%. I think he's probably maybe at 60% or so, because Mitch used to, I mean, he used to not really get gassed super easy. He was always in pretty good shape. Now, obviously, he's having to lug around those extra pounds, which does wear you down quicker, but I think he'll figure it out and continue, you know, running as the season goes on, and you know, just the game action will get him in shape, as well as hopefully he's doing a lot of running in between games as well to sort of get that long-term conditioning back. But once he finds that, I still think that he's still one of the best defensive centers in the NBA, even if that extra weight has taken away a little bit of the burst and lift that he used to have to be able to like block three pointers and do that sort of like game breaking skill. I think that he's now added so much to his defensive abilities with guarding guys like Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, even Giannis. We saw some pretty good stretches against the Bucks when he was guarding Giannis one-on-one. I mean, that sort of guy is extremely valuable still in the NBA. And the only thing that is sort of holding his value back at this point is obviously the fact that he's an impending unrestricted free agent. So some teams might be a little hesitant to trade for him in that respect. But I think that if, again, you know, looking at this through the lens of if this is for a star trade, if you're looking at this, you know, from the viewpoint of a team that is trying to maybe start a rebuild and, you know, get some young players in return for a big, you know, star, which again, I keep going back to like Damian Lillard or something like that. You know, in the case of the Blazers, they would probably be like, well, if we get Mitchell Robinson, we'll probably look to trade Nurkic right away and find him a new home too, get a lesser package for him to trade him to some contender. And we'll just extend Mitch right here. And if we offer him a fair amount, he and his agent will just take that, because, you know, if we're offering a market value, let's say like $15 million a year or something like that over 4 or 5 seasons, or, well, I don't think they can get to five, but over like, let's say 4 seasons for $15-16 million a year, I think he would probably just take that. I think the Knicks have been a little reluctant to offer that so far, just waiting for his health to come around. But I think if the Knicks ultimately decide that they want to keep him as part of the future, which I think is probably the most likely thing here, because he's just such a Tibbs player as far as what Tibbs wants to do on defense now, I think that they'll just offer him that. But if you're going to trade him, some other team would probably offer him that and pretty safely could extend him before free agency even hits. So I think that doesn't play too much into his trade value and more so just his play on the court, which is why I actually had him at number 4. But then I think you sort of gave your rationale for the first round picks in the last one, and so did I. But you did have the 2024 first as the number 5, if you want to just give a brief explanation of that again, or we can start getting into our consensus top 4, where we had everybody had a composite score of 4 or better in our top 4, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I noted that. Yeah, I mean, the picks were just sort of in any order, right? It depends on which team is going for them. And I guess my only counterpoint on Mitch, and maybe this contradicts a little bit, that it's my rankings versus like what teams will do, is just right now, like, I don't know the team around the NBA. And like, maybe there is one. Like, I'm sure there is like a couple of GMs who sort of watched a couple of Knicks games over the last few years, or maybe more than a couple of Knicks games, and saw sort of the same thing that you and I have seen, and that so many others who really love Mitch and were like, huh, I wonder if he's a good buy low candidate. But I think by and large, just given the landscape of centers in the NBA, if you're not multifaceted offensively, then you have to be a multi-positional defender defensively. And the case is, to your point, that like, well, Mitch is a 3-year sample size of that. And just because he's not at 100% right now doesn't mean that it's gone forever. But I think a lot of people do think in the immediate, and like, I could see a lot of people being like, would we really give up a first round pick for that guy right now? And I don't know how many teams would actually do that. It's an interesting question though. And I've long been curious, like, because it seems like it's been pretty clear that the Knicks have, at least coming out of this offseason, have not placed a lot of value on Mitchell Robinson. And I wonder if that is true for other teams across the board. But yeah, we can, I'll just drop a name for my number four, and then we can head to commercial. But it is Obi Toppin, and we will get into why it is Obi Toppin right after this break. But first, I wanted to talk to everyone one more time about Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
And this episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats, plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert, but one that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie is upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Get the turkey-flavored Built Bar. No, I'm kidding. There's no turkey-flavored Built Bar. Plus, turkey has lots of protein anyway. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie with Built Bar, but not turkey. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-carb, low-fat, and high-protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, although you're probably listening to this on Thanksgiving or Black Friday, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. There are going to be new surprises all month, including limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Or maybe you're listening on Black Friday right now. Go. What are you doing? Go to Built.com. Get there. And if you decide to go at any other time, go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Gavin, you dropped the bombshell. You've got Obi Toppin at number four. This slightly differentiates from my rankings, because I had Mitch at number four and actually someone else that you have a little higher at number five. But I'll let you give the case for Obi first, and then I'll give my rationale for, spoiler alert, having Obi as my number three ranked asset on the Knicks right now.
Yeah. I will say your three and five surprised me. So we can get into it in a sec. But yeah, my top three, I think, was pretty clear cut. Julius Randle, Emmanuel Quickly, RJ Barrett in some order that will go unspoiled for now. But Obi was like also like the clear four, right? Like he was like ahead of the next group and behind this group pretty clearly to me. And his value is still sort of like a little ambiguous, just because like most teams haven't, like, you're still projecting so much with him. It sounds weird about a second year player who's what, 24 years old now. Like he should pretty much be a known entity to some extent, but he hasn't really gotten to play minutes consummate with his impact yet. Right. Like he is still stuck behind Julius Randle, and we don't know what he looks like going against starters for a full game. Is he someone who, like, if he was a starter for a playoff team right now, would he in the first round, like maybe his defense looks good in the context of being on the bench, or would you put him in a first round playoff series and all of a sudden he's starting and getting shredded in pick and roll over and over and over again? I kind of think his energy, his smarts, and his improved lateral abilities would allow him to hold his own in those settings. But if I were a playoff team giving up real assets to trade for him, or even if I were a younger team giving up real assets to trade for him, that's the question I would be asking. Is this guy like empty calories to some extent, or is he a real impact player? And I think this year we've gotten increasing evidence that he's a real impact player. He's literally seventh in the league in net rating for guys, maybe an arbitrary cutoff, but playing at least 12 minutes per game. And if you want to just like statistically what he would look like getting like big minutes, like I could see him pretty quickly becoming someone who averages like between 16 and 18 points per game, 8 rebounds, like really good efficiency, like decent defense, sort of like a John Collins light. And it would take the right team, I think, is also part of the conversation. Like, and this year, like he's found success playing with a center that stuck around the rim, but his ideal setting would be going to like, I mean, if the pay in a hypothetical where the Knicks put together like a big package for DeMontis Sabonis and he could go to the Pacers and play with Miles Turner. I know Miles Turner is like the ultimate, like, oh, rim protecting, shot blocking center, but any or like the guy who always gets thrown out in these examples, but that is sort of the premise of where Obi Toppin could really, really thrive. You find him like the perfect front court mate like that, like all of a sudden you're looking at someone who could really fuel your offense, can provide a pretty unique energy boost to your team, and can hold his own defensively. I think the other three guys ahead of him would be more successful in any context, which is why I have them ahead of Obi, but I think he's pretty clearly number four for me.
Yeah, the reason I had him ranked one spot higher, and I'll discuss my Julius stance in a minute and why I had him number five on this ranking, but I just think Obi, when you're talking about if the Knicks are trying to upgrade the roster, which again, you know, I kind of went through this whole thing. I couldn't separate myself from the fact that I just don't see the Knicks going into fire sale mode anytime soon. So I think if you just put Obi Toppin and Julius Randle both on the trading block right now and just said, you know, give me offers, you'd probably still get a higher offer for Julius Randle just based off body of work and what he did last year and what he's obviously capable of and all that. But I just don't see the Knicks doing that. And so that's kind of why I had Obi higher, where I think that for the type of trades that the Knicks would be looking to pull off, which I still think are just upgrade trades, I think that they're looking to, you know, improve the roster. I don't think that they would be looking to just kind of ship off like the Juliuses or the Derrick Roses of the world. They would be looking to build something around those guys that could let the team be more successful in the moment. Which, you know, right or wrong, some people still want to be in rebuild mode. So, you know, I guess some people would scoff at that and say that it's like same old Knicks or whatever, but, you know, Obi, I just think has shown so much in his per minute efficiency lately. And, you know, his per 36 numbers, I keep going back to, we clowned Macri so hard on our season opening, you know, bold prediction show where he, I forget what the exact numbers he said were, but he had these like,
yeah, 18, 6, 3, 2, and 1, maybe something along those
lines. Yeah, something like that in per 36 numbers for Obi, and he's been hitting them. You know, I mean, the numbers suggest that if he was out there as a start, and some of the games have suggested it too. If you look at, you know, the games where like Obi was allowed to play, you know, more minutes with Tibbs, you know, leaving the bench out there for a really long time. I mean, his per minute efficiency has been right there, you know, pretty much across the board this year and not had any real drop-offs. You know, some team that is looking to kickstart their rebuild looks at a guy like Obi and says, essentially, weirdly, you know, looks at him almost like how we were looking at him coming out of the draft last year, which is this guy is, you know, well, we didn't realize the defense was going to be as good as it is now, but, you know, looks at Obi and says, this is a plug and play guy that we can take and have be the centerpiece of our trade. And we'll throw him out there for 35 minutes a game starting today. And he will be giving us great, you know, return on investment and making us look like geniuses for pulling this trade off, you know, regardless of how good the player that gets sent to the Knicks does. So, you know, I think there's still going to be some concerns as far as his trade value about how old he is. And, you know, whether what his ceiling is, if, you know, basically what he's showing now just in greater minutes is his ceiling. But even if that's the case, I mean, his per minute totals right now are elite. I mean, they're great. And his impact, you know, on the team and on the team's performance has been undeniable so far this year. So I think, you know, Obi, his value is pretty high as a result. I struggle to put him in my top two because of the two guys that are in the top two, but I didn't have too much problem putting him ahead of Mitch and Randall in that number three spot, just because I think as far as a trade piece to some team that's looking to, you know, trade with the Knicks, and presumably the Knicks are trying to get more of a ready-made star player, he would look like a really attractive piece as someone who's pretty much ready to go right now and contribute for a team at a high level in big minutes, but also someone that should have some good long-term value too, because ultimately, even with his advanced age for being a second-year player, he doesn't have a ton of miles on him, even dating back to college. And you could probably look at him more like a, instead of a 23, or I think he might turn 24 this year at some point, year-old player, you can look at him more like a 21 or 22-year-old. You know, like maybe a guy that he came out as a, I think technically a senior out of college, but maybe look at him more as like a traditional junior that came out of college or something like that in his second year. And that makes it a little more palatable just based off of his past experience and the path that he took to eventually make it to the NBA. So yeah, that's why I have him so high. Gavin, I don't know. Should we, well, I guess I'll throw it to you for Randall for number three, and then I can give my justification for having him at number five. I think that would probably be the best step, because then we differ on who's one and who's two, but our top two are the same.
All right. So I'll quickly take a chance to tell everyone about Bet Online, and then we will get into it on Julius Randle. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, Alex, and we are stuffed with asset rankings, right? Julius Randle, so this is the debate. So this is weird for me, right? Because you had him at five, I had him at three. On my mega ultra list, which was like how the league actually values these guys, I don't know why I just called it that, I would have Randle number one, right? Like I think Randle would still, like, there's an argument for RJ Barrett, but in terms of like if we were literally just discussing what would teams around the league give up to get this guy, I still kind of lean Randle one, and I think there's a case for RJ. I think quickly would pretty clearly be 3, 4, or 5 on that list. Like I don't think around the NBA he's valued nearly as highly as you and I and a lot of Knicks fans think of him. But this is still a guy who finished top 10 in MVP a year ago, right? Like there's just no one on the Knicks with a resume point even close to that. Like being as objective as we can, RJ right now is probably a slightly below average starting wing. And Emmanuel quickly is one of the better bench guards in the NBA. But you got to include that qualifier that he's one of the better bench guards in the NBA. If he was a starting point guard, he would be, I don't have everyone in front of me, but he would be somewhere between 20 and 30, right? He would not be one of the top 20 starting point guards in the league right now, probably by most people's account, unless he really took the reins on it and played better than he ever has before. And compare that to a guy who was literally considered one of the 10 best players in the league last year. Like I would clearly put him at number one, but then on my own rankings, like I have him at three, just because I think if you're the Knicks, you're sort of betting on like championship equity at this point. Like who is the player that could be like the first or second best guy on a title team? And I don't, there's a case Julius Randle playing out of his mind. If like, let's just say if the number one guy was Luka Doncic or Giannis Antetokounmpo, sure, there's a small case that Randle could be that second guy, but RJ or quickly just because of their age, I think there's a trajectory there where either one of them could be definitively better than Randle was last season or Randle is right now. So I think if I'm like, just because of my like personal MO and like team building philosophy, I'm always going to like bet on that upside swing. So that's why I had those two guys out of Randle, but I'm surprised you actually had Randle even like a little bit lower. And I'm wondering, like, was it sort of the same rationale as Derrick Rose where he's just a guy that they ultimately wouldn't trade in your mind?
Yeah, that definitely played into it. I think objectively too, I think that the NBA, when we're talking about like trade values and stuff, it's always a league of like potential value trumps actual value by and large, especially when you're dealing with trades where, again, I did most of this in the frame of mind where I would feel like the Knicks would be trying to get better. So they would try to be trading to a team that is looking to sort of, build their roster for the future going forward. And, you know, maybe there is some deal out there where Julius Randle could be traded, by the Knicks for, like, I don't know, like if a trade for Giannis opened up or something, you know, they could trade Julius for Giannis, and that would probably appease the Bucks better than just like a package full of picks or whatever. And you know, that I'm not saying that's going to happen at all, but that's like one scenario where if you had a team that was like, well, we still want to contend, but, or I guess maybe the look would be like the Sixers or something. Like if Joel Embiid eventually becomes available or something like that, and then like the fit between Embiid and Julius is maybe a little sketchy, although I think that could probably work pretty well. But, you know, if the Knicks had doubts about that and the Sixers were like, well, we want to do like a soft reset and we want to still be able to compete some, then, you know, maybe that's a trade that the Knicks would make where they would include Randle. But by and large, I don't see them looking to deal him. And the other thing is that I just think that, you know, it's the same reason why draft picks are often so valued in the NBA, why, you know, prospects are so valued, that sort of thing. It's just like the potential of something greater, you know, for teams that are looking to make trades, it usually outweighs actual production, unless you're a team that's like trying to find that final piece to contend or whatever. Like say the, you know, the Nets getting Harden, you know, that they're willing to give up everything and then some, because they know like getting Harden probably means, you know, there's a decent chance we could win a championship. So short of that, I think the teams just kind of value future more so than present. And so I think that's why if you would go around the league, like, and, you know, take a survey of what team, like if you asked NBA teams around the league to rank this list the same way that we're ranking it, I don't know that, you know, if you could, like, if it could be like gun to their head, like have to be 100% or like truth serum, let's make it a little less grisly, truth serum have to be 100%, you know, honest about, you know, your rankings and who you'd rather have going forward long term, based off how play has worked so far this year, it might be reasonable to say, hey, maybe Julius Randle has peaked. You know, maybe last season was his best season, and, you know, things are never going to be that good again. And if that's the case, then maybe I'd rather have, you know, 21-year-old RJ Barrett or 22-year-old Emmanuel Quickley, however old Quickley is. But maybe I'd rather have those guys that are in their third and second years in the league that have the potential to, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years from now, in the same way that Randle did, find their own peak and, you know, maybe have it, you know, sustain a little more. And that's not to say that I think that Julius Randle, you know, how he's played so far this year is who he is. I think that he's definitely still the player that we saw last year and can reach that level again, I think, once some issues sort of get sorted out with this team, as far as fit with him and Kemba and him and Fournier and all these chemistry things they need to work through, get sorted out. But I just think that if you were surveying teams around the league, they wouldn't have Randle as like their number one or maybe even ahead of Obi Toppin, just because of like Obi's on the rise and Randle has maybe plateaued, you know, and teams look at that and say, well, If Randle, even if, like, okay, let's say 95% of what he was last year, because I think that last year was just such a great season for him that it's going to be pretty hard to replicate that in full ever again. So let's say that, you know, you can get 95% of what Randle was last year. Teams would still be like, yeah, but what if these other guys get to a better place than that? So looking at my rankings again, I think it was maybe a bit of a stretch to have Mitch ahead of Randle. So if I did this again, I would probably put Randle at 4, Mitch at 5, but I don't struggle at all to put OB, IQ, and RJ ahead of Julius Randle, just because I think that potential going forward outweighs whatever Randle is right now. But Gavin, I'll throw it to you if you want to. I think that we've made it pretty obviously telegraphed who our top two are. If you want to maybe introduce your number two, and I can say why he's my number one, and then I can introduce my number two, and you can say why he's your number one, and then that'll take us home.
Yeah, sure. So I'll make it less ambiguous. I had RJ Barrett at 2 and Emmanuel Quickley at number one, and a tough debate for me, because I, again, in a pure, like, around the league sense, like, I'm 100% sure RJ would fetch a bigger package than Quickley from pretty much every, like, I think there's maybe two or three GMs in the league who maybe watch the Knicks a ton and like, you know what, like Quickley's pull up shooting, that I'm in love with that. I don't really, RJ doesn't do it for me, but I think just because of the pedigree, the reputation and like, and the flashes, like, I mean, that Pelicans game was incredible. When you saw someone like who just looked like you watch that game and you're like, if you just drop someone in from Europe who doesn't really follow the NBA, but is a big basketball person in general, which is a weird contradiction, but go with it. And just watch that game. They'd be like, oh, is that guy like one of the top 10 players in the league? Like, is that Luka Doncic right there? That's what Luka Doncic does. And he just has not been able to sustain that for a very long period of time. So I think my logic ultimately for making Quickley number one is I think the combination of like the shooting, the handle, the quickness, the improved passing, that's just, I know I'm just listing all of his best abilities, but to me, those are just more bankable skills than any single thing RJ does. Like RJ is right. Like, whatchamacallit, jack of all trades, master of none right now. Like he does a lot of stuff well, doesn't do a lot of stuff great on a game to game basis. And I would, if I'm banking on a young prospect, I'd rather one who I say, I know Emmanuel Quickley is going to be one of the better pull up 3-point shooters in all of basketball. I know he's going to leverage that into other stuff. The counter argument to that, I think, is just like, all right, but he's only really ever done it against bench units. Like could he do what he does against starters? And we have no idea. But I would bet on that chance more than like everything we've seen from RJ, which is really impressive stuff, but it's just not quite there's not the one element where you're like, I'm sure in a playoff game he will bring this to the table.
Yeah, I had Quickley at number two and RJ at number one, and I guess my overall thing is like, based off probably for all the things that you said that would make GMs around the league potentially like RJ more, I think that's part of why I still have him just higher than Quickley. In that he has that ideal size, he has the ideal strength profile, he has shown the ability to do various things, you know, that Pelicans game, like he looked like a genuine superstar. He had us like freaking out and being like, oh my God, if this is who RJ Barrett is, the Knicks could be on a new level this year. And obviously everybody went into a full-on tailspin pretty much right after that game. And like, he hasn't been able to hit a shot. Fournier hasn't been able to hit a shot. Kemba's been so hot and cold. But like, I just think that RJ has the potential to be, I still hold this out. I think that he could be Jimmy Butler with better, more consistent 3-point shooting at his best. And I think that player trumps whatever Quickley's top level could be, unless Quickley can somehow literally turn into like Steph Curry, which, I mean, I know that we've talked about as like, you know, Quickley's, maybe one of Quickley's best comps is Curry, but like a much less elite version of him, where it's, yeah, exactly, where it's just like able to come off screens and shoot and hit at a high clip, able to shoot from pretty much anywhere on the floor and hit at a high clip, you know, able to utilize a floater and a burgeoning inside game now that he's got going on. You know, the handle isn't anywhere near Curry, but Curry has probably the best handle in the NBA or near it. You know, he's just an absolute wizard with the ball in his hands. You know, Quickley's got a long way to go before he ever gets there. And also just before he develops the reputation that Steph has that just keeps teams glued to him so much that it opens so much up for the team in general. But yeah, maybe that's his ceiling. And if that's the case, then yeah, Quickley would end up being the number one. But I just can more easily see a world where RJ turns into a Jimmy Butler type, like all-star, potential all-NBA player, than I can with Quickley at this juncture still. And I think that's why I have RJ higher, and why I think most teams around the league would have RJ higher as well. And why, you know, I think as far as like asset rankings, I put him higher than Quickley, just because of, you know, the fact that if you're centering it, I feel like RJ is like the crown jewel. You know, if you're centering a package around him, that means that you're going for like the big fish. Whereas if you're trading, like say Quickley and Toppin together, you're still saying, if you're the Knicks, you know, hey, we still held on to RJ Barrett, you know, despite giving up as much as we did in this trade. Whereas I feel like if you're trading RJ, the general consensus would sort of be like, oh man, the Knicks really gave up the farm. Even if they kept Emmanuel Quickley, you know, in this trade, they still had to give up RJ Barrett, their top you know, young piece to get this guy that they wanted. So I think that's why I have RJ higher, though the margins are getting thinner by the day, because Quickly is really showing, I mean, on top of everything else, more playmaking, better defense, and all that stuff. It is an exciting time, regardless of the struggles that RJ has had recently. It's an exciting time as a Knicks fan to have RJ, Quickly, and Toppin, and even to a degree Mitchell Robinson, if he gets his conditioning back, all on this team and all as young as they are and potentially able to stay with the Knicks for a long time. So that wraps up the asset rankings, though, Gavin, unless you had anything else you wanted to throw in there. But I think I've made my case for all of these top 15 guys at this point.
No, I think we can end it on that. It's a good debate. We'd appreciate people chiming in on social media or in the YouTube comments. Remember to subscribe on YouTube. It really makes a massive, massive difference. So until next time, he's Alex Wolf. I'm Gavin Shaw. Peace out. We hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. We hope you get some great Black Friday sales. And we will talk to you soon on Locked On Knicks.